Morning, LifePoint Church. Hope everyone is doing well. Had a great week. Man, we thank you so much for being here with us today and worshiping and choosing LifePoint Church to just be the place you come hang out this Sunday morning. So I say this a lot, but it's the truth. There's a lot of different churches within just a few mile radius that you could have went to. But we're very thankful that you're here with us at LifePoint Church worshiping and doing life with us. So thank you so much for being here. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here. And today, we're actually wrapping up our current message series called Temptation. This is the fourth week of this series. We took a one-week break, so really it's kind of stretched out into 5 weeks. But none of that really matters, and now I'm just kind of talking about it, but whatever. But today is the final week of our message series called Temptation. And what we've been doing in this series is that we've been working through, looking at God's word as to see what God has to say about temptation, specifically in how we can overcome temptation in our life. Because regardless of who you are, how super spiritual you may be, how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been going to church. If you were raised in church, you remember, getting your diaper changed in nursery or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. We are all subject to temptation. And I'm pretty confident that there are people in here today, probably every single one of us, that have that thing, right? That one temptation that just constantly is hitting us. It's constantly in our face, and it's there, and we're faced with it, and we're battling, and we're wrestling with it all the time. It's reoccurring, and we're constantly dealing with that, and it's difficult, and it's a struggle, and sometimes we have victory, but sometimes we give in, and it's because we're all subject to temptation. But the good news is that based off of what we read in Scripture, you don't have to be a victim to temptation. Because the truth is that through Christ, we can overcome it, right? If you remember, we've covered Paul's words, his encouraging words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. We've covered that every week of this series, so today will be no different. So check it out. He says, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." Again, this is basically that we're all subject to temptation. I mean, it's going to come. And then he says, "And God is faithful." Man, some of the most encouraging words, that God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That no matter what it is, no matter what that temptation is, whether it seems insignificant, maybe small, or whether it's completely destructive and overwhelming, no matter if it's really not that big of a temptation, or whether, man, it's you're just really, really deep into it, and it's really a major, major struggle, regardless, God is faithful. And he will always give you a way out so that you can overcome the temptations that are in your life. And today, as we close out this series, what I want to do is I want to share with you some very practical steps that you can take, that you can do, that you can add to your life that will definitely increase the likelihood of victory over these temptations. And again, not sporadic victory, but ongoing and consistent victory in your life. You see, the reality of the situation is that we can, on our own, we can have some victory for a moment. Like, we can be really strong for a minute. I mean, we can kind of muster that up, and we can have victory over that once. But the thing about temptation is it keeps coming. And it's going to hit you again. And it's going to hit you again. And it's going to be in your face again. And it's constant. And it's overwhelming. And when we're doing this on our own, we become weak. Like I said, we can have that we can be strong for that moment, but we start to wear down when we're doing this thing on our own. And eventually, we end up giving in. Because eventually, we drop our guard. Or maybe we get arrogant and we think, you know what, I got this thing licked. The moment we're not prepared, the moment that we're weak, we become vulnerable. And we typically end up doing something that we really don't want to do. Something that we have stated, man, I don't want to do this. But it's because we become weak after a constant battle. I mean, think about it. For you guys, when it comes to temptation, how many of you all have ever thought to yourself, like after giving into that temptation, it's like, man, why am I so weak? Like, why am I not able to overcome this thing? Anyone else, or is it just me? It's all right. No one's going to judge you. And if they do, I'm raising my hand too, so they're judging me, so it's not a big deal. Right. We think that. We come to this place where we're like, man, why am I so weak? Maybe for you, it's specific to maybe say gambling or something. That's, you have a gambling addiction and you're like, man, I don't want to gamble anymore. I know how destructive it is. I know how it's tearing my family apart. I don't want to do it. But yet here I am. I'm so weak. Or maybe it's, man, I know I don't need to look at this anymore. It's toxic. It's not good for my relationships. It's not good for my mental and physical and spiritual health. Like, I shouldn't be looking at these things. I tried my hardest not to click on that link. But here I am. Gosh, I'm so weak. Man, I'm trying to eat better, right? I want to take care of this body that God has given me. But then here's the biggest piece of chocolate lava cake you've ever seen. I know I should just pay my bill and roll out as quick as possible. But I just ordered it. I'm so weak. Man, I want to be sober more than anything. I want sobriety in my life. I'm willing to do what it takes. But here I am, trashed again. Here I am, high again. I'm so weak. Why? Why is it that our spirit is willing and we would say, I want to be different, but yet sometimes our flesh is so weak? And what we end up doing doesn't necessarily always match what we say we want. But see, a lot of times it's because of what we're feeding, right? We talked about this a little bit last week. It depends on what you're feeding. Are you feeding your flesh, your sinful nature, or are you feeding your spirit? Right? Are you feeding your flesh or your spirit? Because remember what we talked about last week is what you feed grows and what you starve dies, right? So what you feed, it grows stronger, bigger, and it basically will enforce its will. And what you starve, man, you snuff out and it dies and it goes away. So it really depends on what you feed. So the question really shouldn't be, why am I so weak? The question should really be, what am I feeding in my life? What am I feeding? Am I feeding my flesh? Or am I feeding the spirit? And this is why we're so weak so often, because we're not feeding the spirit. Or we're too busy feeding the flesh. And we're starving the spirit. That's why we're weak. That's why we're powerless. That's why we're living defeated lives. That's why we give in to temptation. Because we're not feeding the spirit, and therefore we are spiritually weak. But we need to be spiritually strong. Because again, on our own, we can fight for a minute. We may claim a little bit of victory. But eventually you gas out and you're going to lose. You're going to fall on your face. And it's because you're not truly connected to God. You're not walking in step with the Spirit. You're not feeding the Spirit. You're out there doing your own thing the way you want to do it. But you got to understand that feeding your Spirit is essential to claiming victory over temptation in our lives. So with that said, like I said, I want to talk about some practical things that we can do. So the question is then, how do we feed our spirit, right? What do we need to do to actually feed our spirit? And the answer is really simple. Like, you don't have to have a degree in biblical studies or, you know, a master's in theology to be able to know how to feed your spirit. It's simple. And if you've been in church for any amount of time in your life, or even been around people that go to church or that are Christ followers, you're going to know these answers. Like, there's nothing new that's going to be spoken today. And yet, we don't do it. We don't do it like we should. We know this with our head, and we can rattle off, yeah, I need to do this, this, and this. But typically, we don't do it. We're not feeding our spirit. And we have to feed our spirit to have victory, to be spiritually strong enough to go into battle. So, here we go. Three ways to feed your spirit. Like I said, nothing new. It's nothing new, but it is powerful, and we need to implement this into our life. So the first thing is that we're going to feed our spirit with prayer. How many of you heard that before? Right. Thank you, Shannon, for being awake. Right. We're to feed our spirit with prayer. We've heard it, but yet many of us aren't communicating with God like we should, as consistently as we should, with honest, heartfelt, genuine connection and communication with God. And this is so important, because just like in any relationship in your life, the health of that relationship depends on your ability to communicate. Right? Whether it be your friendships, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, it doesn't matter what relationship it is, or your relationship with God. The health of that relationship depends on your ability to successfully and honestly and genuinely communicate. And communication is both speaking and listening. My guys, listening. We gotta listen, right? But it's the same thing in our relationship with God. And when we're looking at feeding our spirit and becoming spiritually strong, we have to be engaged in prayer. In fact, Jesus said this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 41. He says, keep watch and pray. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Therefore, we need to keep watch and pray. If you want to avoid temptation, if you want to not give in to the temptations in your life, you've got to feed your spirit with prayer. I mean, it's one of the greatest weapons and defenses that we have against the enemy when it comes to temptation. Because again, we're all tempted. It doesn't say keep watch and pray so that you won't be tempted. It says keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, because it's going to be there. And I don't know 100% where your prayer life is and what this means for you. But maybe for you, you're not communicating with God at all. And so you need to begin to communicate with God. Don't be afraid of it. It's nothing to be intimidated by. It's just communicating with God. Just talk to God. Maybe for you, you're in a season of just intense temptation. Like, the enemy is coming at you full force with those temptations in your life, and you need to start talking to God like, God, lead me not into temptation. God, help me to see the way out. You promise that you will always give us a way out and that we'll be able to endure it. So help me to see the way out so that I can move past this and not fall flat on my face and give in. God, I know you're faithful. Give me strength. You need to be honest with him, gut level honesty. Maybe that's what your prayer life needs to look like right now during this season. Or maybe for you, it's a prayer of submission. That every single day you need to wake up and submit to God. Because you know you struggle with wanting to do things your own way. That's probably the majority of us. We like to do things our own way. But maybe that's what we need to do. We need to wake up every single day and submit to God. Because remember, in week 2 of this series, we talked about how in order to overcome temptation, we first have to have submitted to God. So again, maybe it's communicating with God that God, I submit my thoughts to you. I submit my eyes to you. I submit my words, my work, my attitude, my everything. Right? Everything that's within me, I submit that to you so that you will be glorified. That my life will reflect you. And when people see me, they see you. And when I love on people, they feel your love. I submit to you. Maybe that's what your prayer is. Or maybe for you, you're more like me, and prayer can be sometimes challenging in the sense that you're not good at sitting down and praying for hours and hours upon hours. And you feel guilty because of that. And so because of that, you become intimidated. But what you need to understand is that God knows how he wired you. Because newsflash, he created you. And he knows, if that's you, that, man, you're not wired necessarily to just fall on your face and pray for 3 hours straight, in your room or somewhere. But it's important to communicate with God. So maybe you need to be communicating with God in these, like, short little prayer bursts all day long. In fact, I encourage everyone to do that because it can actually be a game changer for you. To be in constant communication with God. To pray without ceasing. That means that you're constantly connected with him. Everything that you're doing. So when you're walking into that meeting, like, God, give me the words in this meeting. Help me to have the right attitude in this meeting because I'm going into it knowing that I'm salty. Help me to have the right words. God, speak through me. God, empower me to say the right things and to do the right things in this situation. God, help me to not throat punch this person because they're getting on my nerves. God, help me to overcome this temptation that's in my face right now. Constant prayer. And I don't know what it is for you, but what I do know is that in order to feed your spirit, in order to be spiritually strong, strong enough to consistently overcome temptation, you have to be feeding your spirit with prayer. It's a must. The second thing that we need to do is that we need to feed your spirit with God's word. Right? We got to feed your spirit with God's word. Check out what King David says in Psalms chapter 119, verse 9. He says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity?" What a great question. A question that's milling around in my head right now as I'm raising kids in, the late 20-teens and soon to be the 2020s, right? It's terrifying. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? And he says this, "By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." If you want to overcome temptation in your life, and you know that you're weak, and you're exhausted, you're tired, you need to be feeding your spirit with God's word. You need to know it. You need to read it, listen to it, live by it, obey it, believe it. You need to be feeding your spirit with God's word so that you will not sin against him, so that you can overcome the temptation when it comes. I think it's interesting that in Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, he starts to instruct them in chapter 6 of Ephesians. He says to put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Right? He's talking about the armor of God. Then he goes in to use these descriptors, which I'm a visual person, so I really like this. He talks about the armor of God being the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace as shoes, a shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But if you notice, all of the armor of God that's listed here is kind of typically used as defensive items, with the exception of the sword. The word of God is an offensive weapon. We can fight off the attacks of the enemy, the temptations from the enemy, with God's word, to fight off all of his strategies, includes temptation. We also see this is exactly what Jesus did when he was being tempted by the enemy after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in Matthew chapter 4, right? When he was fasting, the devil came to him and said, hey, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Right? He knew he was fasting 40 days, 40 nights. Turn these into bread. And Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then Satan says to him, he said, man, why don't you throw yourself off this building and let the angels catch you and carry you away? And Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord thy God to test. Satan then says, then why don't you just bow down and worship me? And then he says, get away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Each time, it is written, scripture, God's word. He's using that as that weapon to fight off the enemy's attacks. And I don't know about you all, but if it's good enough for Jesus, that was what he used, count me in. I'm going to take that same approach, for sure. I'm going to follow his lead in that one. So I know for me that I need to ensure that I'm feeding my spirit with God's word in order to fight off those temptations and those attacks. And you need to do the same. I've hidden your word in my heart. I know it. I study it. I memorize it. I live it. Why? So that I will not sin. So that I can overcome temptation. So we need to dig into his word. And if you're not someone that loves to read, listen to it. It's 2018. You get a Bible app on your phone with the click of a button that's free, and then you hit a little speaker icon on it, and it just starts reading it to you. It's real simple. Ingest it. Feed your spirit with the word of God. So to remain spiritually strong, right? We're going to feed our spirit with prayer. I'm going to feed our spirit with God's word. And the final thing that we need to do is we need to feed our spirit with the right people. You need to feed your spirit with the right people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 and 34. Paul's pretty blunt, straight to the point, which I appreciate, which I like. And he says this. Do not be misled. And basically, he's saying, look, don't fool yourself into thinking that the people that you have closest to you aren't impacting your life one way or another. Man, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Strong words, to the point. My man. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. And stop sinning. Man, just basically cut it out. Bad company corrupts good character. So just stop. Cut it out. Get the right people around you. Stop hanging with those people that are bringing you down, that are leading you in the wrong direction. Get rid of those people in your lives that are encourage you to dive headfirst into temptation. Just stop. Come back to your senses. Pay attention to who you're connected to. And I don't care who you are, and again, how strong you are spiritually. Consistently being around the wrong people, having the wrong people in your core circle, never helps you to do the right thing. It doesn't. Trust me. Been there, done that. It doesn't. I want you to note, though, that I said the in your core. See, because there's a rub here. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if there's people in your life that you know, that you're friends with, that you're connected with, that maybe are struggling in a certain area, or maybe you're going down the wrong path, or that aren't believers of Christ, I'm not saying cut them out of your life. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what we need to do. We need people like that in our lives, because if we're not, then we're not on mission. We're not called to sit and huddle with other like-minded believers and pat each other on the back constantly. We're to go into the world and carry the good news of Christ with us and live it and breathe it and love. But you have to pay attention to who's in your core circle, who you allow influence you, who you allow close to you, who you have those intimate relationships with. And some of you, you really need to begin to reprioritize who you've allowed to be close to you, who you're connecting with, who are you allowing to influence you. And if you know that there's that person in your life that's just toxic, that's constantly leading you in a direction that's contrary to God and his leading, man, then you need to place some intentional distance between you and them in your life. Place some intentional distance. You need to place some boundaries in your life. Because again, having the wrong people in your core is never going to help you to do the right thing. For example, if you're struggling to overcome an alcohol addiction, guess what? You're not going to be very successful if you're still hanging out with all your drinking buddies and going to the bar every Friday night. I'll just give me a water. It's not going to work. Doesn't mean you cut them out of your life altogether necessarily, but intentional distance, boundaries, parameters are healthy. But we have to pay attention to who we have in our close circle. Heard a pastor once say that you show me your closest friends and I'll show you your future. I'll show you the direction you're headed just based off of who your closest friends are. Not people in your life, not your community, but who is the closest people in your life? Who are you doing a life with? You show me that, and I'll show you the direction that you're heading. And don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character every single time. And if you want to have victory over temptation in your life, you got to feed your spirit with the right people. And I don't want to just sit here and bang on the wrong people, right? That's easy to do. The church is really good at that. But let's talk about who the right people are, right? Who are the right people that you should have in your life? Well, it's the people in your life that encourage you spiritually, who strengthen you spiritually to help you overcome temptation, right? The right people are those who sharpen you, who strengthen you, who believe in you, who encourage you, who love you regardless. It's also the people that love you so much that they're willing to tell you the truth and call you on your crap when you need to be called on. We all like the encouragement part. Sometimes we don't like when people are brutally honest with us, but we need that. We've got to have those people in our life. We need those people that we can be an open book with, that we trust wholeheartedly, that we can share our failures, our flaws, our sin, our temptations, that we can be that open, honest book with. I'm telling you, there's nothing more freeing than to be able to share that with somebody, knowing that they love you and they're not going to judge you based off that. And the sad part is that's rare. And it shouldn't be. You need these type of people in your core circle. And if you don't have them, your ceiling spiritually is going to be capped. Because we need community. We need connection. I mean, I think about the people that are in my life that are those encouraging voices and those ones that will call me on my stuff when they need to. right? I think about my wife. That's who I spend the majority of my time with. She does not hesitate to call me on my stuff. But she's also encouraging, right? I think about Daniel Henderson. I don't know if Daniel's in here, if he's downstairs, but he is that one of those people in my life. He's going to encourage me. I think about Eric Olson. I think about Chris Wiggum. I think about Brian Scott, who's one of my mentors. These people in my life, man, we laugh together. Sometimes they laugh at me, which is okay. We discuss the church. We discuss scripture. We discuss what the church should be. We pray together. We cry together. Tell me what I need to hear at times. Those are the right people. Those are the people that I need around me. And the moment I don't have that, then I'm on the decline. I become vulnerable. And what I'm seeing in 2018 is that there are far too many people, far too many Christ followers who are out there struggling with temptation, struggling with doubt, struggling with guilt, struggling with shame, insecurity, fear, fearful of being judged, of being cast out, being blamed, living defeated and depressed lives. And one of the major reasons is because of the absence of honest and authentic and raw spiritual connection with other believers. Sure, they might have a lot of people around them in the church, but are they really spiritually uplifting and encouraging? Or are they more of that judgmental voice that's just watching to see someone screw up and then to call them on it and tell everybody? Or to beat them down because of it? That's why people stay silent. That's why people in churches all over our country aren't sharing with other people. Here's my temptation. I struggle with this. I struggle with porn addiction. I struggle with alcohol or drugs or lying or gossip. Man, I badmouthed you last week and I shouldn't have. No one will say that because they want to put on their mask and walk around like everything's good when it's not. And we need that in our lives to overcome temptation. You see, the church is not something that we go to. It's not a place. It's not a name. LifePoint Church is whatever. The church is people. Right? The church is you. The church is me. It's the body of Christ. And we are family. We're family. We're connected. We should be living that way. And without each other, we are incredibly vulnerable. We are incredibly weak. But if we're doing life together, if we're unified, and together we are incredibly strong. And we, as the people of LifePoint Church specifically, if we're going at life alone, if we're divided, if we're at odds with each other, then not only will this church fail in fulfilling our mission, but also you individually are going to struggle. You're going to be weak spiritually, vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. But again, if we are unified together, true, authentic, spiritual connection, man, then there's no stopping what God will do in this place, through this place. But it starts with genuine connection, authentic connection, with unity. We have to have the right people around us. We have to feed our spirit with the right people. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. Man, to be human is to be tempted. To be human is to be tempted. But the good news is that God is faithful, right? He's faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. He will give you and provide you a way out. He promises that. But yet far too many of us give in to temptation. And it's because we find ourselves disconnected and spiritually weak. We're fatigued because temptation is relentless. The enemy is relentless. And on our own, we're going to fail. But connected to God, connected to the Spirit, when we're feeding the Spirit, man, we can have victory over the temptation in our life. Therefore, we're going to consistently, not just on occasion, consistently feed our spirit with prayer, with God's word, and with the right people. And when we do this, God says, I'll show you the way out. And you'll have the strength to make it. God is faithful. He's faithful. And he's good. And he'll always provide that way out so that you can endure it. Let's pray. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the fact that you are faithful and that you are good. And that regardless of what we're facing in life, God, that you are there for us and you have our back. And when it comes to temptation, God, that you provide us that way out. God, we're so thankful for that. As we continue in the spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and that all sounds well and good, but man, you've never truly connected to the Father. You've never stepped into that relationship with God. You've never given your life to him completely. So God, I can't do this on my own and I need you. If that's you, understand that God loves you. Man, he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to give of his life so that you could be made complete and made whole again. He knows we have struggles. He knows we're not perfect. Therefore, he made a way. The scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And if you're ready to step over that line of faith, to enter into that incredible relationship with God, to become a new creation, scripture says just confess and believe. Confess that you have flaws. Confess that you're not perfect. And that you're in need of a Savior. And that Jesus is that Savior. Believe that he is who he says he is. That he died and rose again for you. Just confess and believe. You can do that right where you're seated. If that's you, and just call on his name today. Just call on him however he leads you. Confess and believe. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, but you're constantly struggling with temptation. Man, you have some glimpses, some moments of victory. But after a while, you become weak and tired and wore out. Typically, you just give in. Understand that there is victory. There is a way out. But you have to feed your spirit. You have to starve the flesh and feed the spirit. You're going to do that through prayer, genuine connection and communication with God, through studying his word, reading his word, ingesting it, listening to it, discussing it with other people, and through having the right people in your life that are encouraging you, that believe in you, that tell you the things that you need to hear even when it's difficult, the right people. Whatever it is for you this morning, whatever God is sharing with you, whatever he's speaking to you, you just do business with him in this moment. You can come forward and pray, and one of our leaders will be up here. They will pray with you, or you can just pray right there in your seat, whatever you're comfortable with. Whatever God's leading you to do, you do that. You just do business with him. Even if it has nothing to do with anything that I've said this morning, that's perfect. Because it's not about me. It's not about slick words. It's about God and where he's leading you. So you follow him. God, again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for dying for us, for raising again, Lord, for making a way for us to be made right before you, God. And we thank you for always giving us a way out, for being faithful, even when we're not. And may each one of us here today, God, draw closer to you. And wherever we're at in this journey, in our relationship with you, God, may we take a step forward. God, may we focus in on that one thing and just take one step, not to overwhelm ourselves. But whatever it is, take that first step and the next to become closer to you and to feed our spirit. God, we love you. We pray that in this moment that you will continue to speak to us. May we do the things that you're leading us to do. And may we as a church, as LifePoint Church, be unified and connected. Do life together, Lord, so that we can reach outside of these walls and love our community, love our city, love our state, and take the good news about you everywhere we go so that people can have the gift, the beautiful gift of salvation that we have, that they will know about you. God, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you never failed me yet. Waiting for change to battles won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands.